But the most ironic thing about it was Osama bin Laden suffers from it too. And that's why he's skinny, and some of the symptoms are skinny, back pains,
wanting to kill
low blood pressure.
He tweets. Bin Laden tweets.
Yeah. I saw him Twittering, man. You know, like, hey, he was like, just caught the Arsenal game.
It's the real Bin Laden tweet.
Let me have your attention for a moment.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Sports Radio Show.
Atypical.
Okay, let's just all explain why that is so weird.
They speak very fast and very loud.
Atypical. Have I got your attention now?
Atypical Sports Show. Welcome to the Atypical Sports Show with your host, Robin Key. Brought to you by Vima, the world's most powerful liquid antioxidant. Visit VimaAthletes.com for your free 30-day trial of Vima. So it's a beautiful day this Friday, May 22nd, Robert Reed's anniversary.
Our anniversary. Yeah.
Dude, you've been doing this for 4 years. My anniversary is one day before your birthday. You know that.
You know, we don't want to talk about that anniversary because I didn't go to the wedding. I forgot.
Okay, I don't want to bring up hard feelings. Yeah. But yeah, dude, this is my anniversary today, man. You know,
well, happy anniversary. Yeah, how many years?
Four years. But we've been together since 2000, so 9 years. You know, but been married for 4 years. My love, Tarly, I love you out there. I know you don't listen to the show anywhere, so I love you too, Tarly. I miss you. it's our anniversary, so I'm probably gonna. What are you gonna do today, Robert? Well, let me tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm going to take her probably out to dinner.
Wait a second, man. Dude, you were just talking. I was going to congratulate you.
All right, go ahead. My fault.
I was really going to say, I love you too, Tarly, but you kept going. I was like, seriously, I love you guys' relationship. 4 years, 3, 4, 5 kids. It's a beautiful family. Love the Reed household. Been a part of it since the 90s. You know what I'm saying? She came aboard since the 2000s. So I've known Rob pre-Tarly, Rob after Tarly. And I love both Robs. Just to say, you shining more, though. You shining now in 2000.
I'm saying, you went from
ashy to classy.
And a little bit still ashy.
A little bit, yeah.
But I'm still classy.
Yeah,
but
what you going to do? How you going to celebrate your classiness?
We're going to go out to dinner.
And it's very original.
It's wherever she wants to go.
Where do you think she gonna choose? Do you know?
No, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. She don't even know what we doing. She's sweating me today. Wait. What are we doing for our anniversary? Because you know what? She thinks I'm going to forget. Or she thinks she always just sends the innuendos. You know our anniversary is this week? You know, so I'm like, I already knew this was a couple weeks ago, so I've been planning this, you know? So we'll probably go to dinner, and then I'll see. I got a little other surprise for her. I can't tell y'all that out there. You kids don't need to hear about that.
Oh, okay, yeah. But well, you might as well tell the surprise now. It ain't like she going to listen to the show.
She ain't. Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I think you just trying to punk yourself into it. You don't even have it planned out.
No, I don't have it exactly planned out, but it's not enough for me to explain and to go different. Everybody like, hey, how did that go when you did this? No, I didn't do that. So, you know,
Comedy show.
We was thinking about it. That's
how y'all do it.
We love laughing. Man, laughter is great, man. You ever mad at your wife and you go to a comedy show? It can never last. At least while you're laughing.
The anger can't last.
Yeah, it can't.
I didn't know what you said. You said it never can last. Like, dang, what are you talking about?
Our relationship will never last. You go to the comedy show, if you're mad at each other, you can never stay mad at each other because, you know, you're laughing. Laughter is the best form of medicine. I know you like medicine.
No, so. I mean, Bin Laden like medicine.
He got Anakin disease?
Addison.
Oh,
dude.
My fault.
Addison.
I thought he had the dark side.
Don't be mad at him. He got the Addison. That's why he look all frail and weak, like our beloved president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
So what's up with you, man? What's going on? What are you doing for your birthday, man? You know what? I'm not going to John's party, man.
I know, man. No one's going. It's not even my party. Like I said, it's John's party for the fight. We're going to have a pool party. We're going to watch UFC. We're going to watch Game 3 of the Lakers Nuggets. That's going to be tomorrow. My birthday happens to be on that day, and John has the best poker parties. Yeah, have you been to John's casita? Is that what they call them? The side houses?
No.
Because every time you've been to the house, but you know, like that
I've
little.
I've never been to his new house.
Never, not even a go. You never no, have, yeah. No. He's got a side house that he got it all purpled out. It's like sun's colors. He got a purple and orange poker table. He's got flat screens on a wall, a full bar. It's iced out, man. Niced out, man.
Wow.
Yeah, and he has like a poker room where he has plaques where if you win the tournament, you get your name on a plaque.
Oh, that's tight.
So if you go up there, like, boom, it'll say, like, you know, John Marquez won March of 2007 or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
You know,
that's cool.
Por ejemplo.
So you guys are gonna have a good time tomorrow.
We'll have a good time, man. But
well,
you know,
Tarly, you don't know why I'm not going?
What?
Because Tarly already had this girls' night thing planned out. So I got to stay home with the kids.
Well, you know, man, John doesn't live the closest person to go to, so I didn't expect anybody.
Yeah, Los Angeles is not that bad to drive. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, Kingman's not that far.
I have Wicked Burger just right across the street.
Yeah.
But yes.
Hey, I got something serious, though, man. On my drive over here to the studio this morning, what happened to Ray J? Is he okay?
What do you mean?
When I came over, Ray J, they was playing Sexy Can I on 101.5, and then on 98.3, they was playing the same song at the same time. So they only play the same song at the same time if something happened to them. Do you know if anything happened to Ray J? Because why would they play that song in May 22nd? That song's like a year old, but they was playing it at the same time like it was really still a hit. Or was that a coinkadink?
That was a coinkadink.
I don't know, man. I got to check into that, man. I'm kind of worried about Ray J.
You know,
because when I said something about Ray J,
what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You a Ray J fan.
You know, whenever something goes bad, you always send some kind of forward from AZ Central that Ray J got shot or something like that.
No, that's not me. That's your boy Lamont.
No, I get forwards from you from AZ Central. Don't let me go back on my text, Mr. Ford from AZ Central.
It's all sports related. I don't send you no entertainment. I don't send you anything entertainment.
Okay,
it's always sports.
Well, I would expect you know what's going on. Believe me, you would have found out what's going on with Ray J.
It might have just happened. I just got out the car to come to the studio, man.
You know, I'm
off today. I'm going to go see Terminator Salvation today.
Man, you going by yourself, right?
No, dude. Me and my homeboy Stacy going.
Man?
Dude, last movie I went to by myself was Coming to America. And I went to go see that twice, back to back.
By yourself?
By myself as a 13, 14-year-old youth.
What happened? Wait, hold on.
That was the last movie I went to by myself alone.
Isn't that a male aardvark, a youth?
Youth, yeah.
Oh, okay.
A little youth.
Oh, that youth. Okay, I got you. You went there by yourself?
I'm not going to the Terminator today by myself.
No, but I'm saying you went to Coming to America by yourself.
Yeah, why you say what happened? I just rode my bike to the theater and went to the thing.
They let you see a radar movie?
Dude, man, it was back in the days. We just walk in, you buy a PG-13 movie, you probably was going to go see, Five Goes West. And then I went to go see Coming to America.
Wow. All right.
Something like that.
Man, this explains a lot.
Yeah.
You watching, listen to cussing and swearing like that at such a young age?
Coming to America came out what year? 88?
88.
Yeah, I was like 15 years old.
Oh, okay,
it's not like
that
I was. Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
That ain't bad.
Yeah, I mean, I was old enough to go to the movies by myself.
Yeah, I guess
but
so.
But not old enough to drive. So I was at that weird age, like in the between age, like 15. But that's almost like the age we had, 36, 37. Like you're not young enough to go to the club and like party, but you're not old enough to be the old guy wearing a suit at the club either. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, look at that old, cool, clean cat with his white hat on.
Oh, man, speaking of going to club, I went to Dos Gringos.
That's not a club.
Well, it feels like it.
That's when you know you old.
It felt like a club. Man, they played music. There was a dance floor. Ain't that a club?
Yeah, it's a bar, but...
It's a blub.
Well, did you go in there with flip-flops?
Flip-flops.
Okay, then it's not a club.
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre walking there with flip-flops in the Century Club.
No, that's
with his jeans on and his team strong.
Wow.
So anyway, what are we talking about today, man? Honestly, people out there, let me tell you right now, I came to the show unprepared today.
No, I didn't. Yeah, we're talking about the game yesterday.
We're talking about the game. Okay, so we're talking about the game.
We're talking about Kobe losing. And remember I said I was going to run up to the TV and be like, yeah!
You ain't that happy.
I wasn't
even
that happy.
I know you ain't that happy. You know why? Because you're scared of a Denver-Orlando series right now.
Huh.
Real bad.
Man.
And you know what? It's kind of like now, it's like since Denver won, my feelings change. I kind of want Denver to win, so maybe LeBron has a better chance of winning.
It's so confused. I go back and forth with that every day, man.
Me too.
It's like, and then the media keeps feeding us that the Lakers are a great team. They turn it on, they won't. I mean, they have their deficiencies. And it comes to that point guard position. Every time I see Fisher bringing the ball up the court, I don't feel as confident as I would with Chauncey Billups when he's bringing the ball up the court and organizing and orchestrating the whole what Denver steps are.
I don't feel comfortable with Fisher.
You feel comfortable on that couch? We got to get this couch out the studio, man.
I don't feel comfortable with Fisher bringing the ball up the court at all.
Not at all.
I feel comfortable with Fisher in the game. I like Shannon Brown in the game more, even though he looks like he saw a ghost all the time. I really don't buy Shannon Brown in the game. I like his.
Ruh-roh.
I won't say not. But yeah, I really, man, it's kind of like, no, I'm just like torn. It's kind of like, I don't care if Denver wins. I don't care if L.A. Laker wins. It's positive, negatives to both.
Yeah.
I would like it more that L.A. win because I want to see Kobe against LeBron. But yeah, that won't break me down from not watching the series. But now if Orlando wins, I won't watch all them games, man. I don't care who they play.
It's like I win and hating on Kobe. But then the things he does, like the game last day, when he hit that three to tie it again with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, man, that was
then
sick.
He hit that other shot.
Fade away.
Yeah, fade away with 45 seconds left to tie
his
it.
Eye.
It's like I win in hating, but then you can't hate him anymore. It just like the Black Eyed Peas to me. Like, you know that song, boom, boom, boom.
Dude, that's
I win in hating. When I first heard that song, I'm like, this song is terrible. Like,
right.
That's just my, I don't like that guy.
Right.
He's that hologram man. I don't like Will I Am. He's from X-Men. What up, man? That song,
my dang it.
So that's what saved me from the whole Ray J thing. That was on two stations, but then I went to 104.7, and they was playing boom, boom, boom. And I just drove in, and I forgot all about Ray J's
about
perils.
That, man.
I forgot all about Ray J's potential perils. Are you sure nothing's wrong with him?
I can't verify you. I can confirm nor deny.
Cha-cha him.
No, I don't care. In fact,
if something happened to Ray J, you wouldn't care?
I wouldn't care.
Ray J used to be your hero.
No,
bro.
Ray J was my hero for 6 weeks, but now I'm off of that dude, man. He don't get on my nerves. But anyway, speaking of NBA, though, you were talking about the NBA, which I was looking about. Are you done talking about the Lakers?
No, we got to talk about the Lakers.
I know, but I got something else about the NBA I want to bring up because I want to talk about the draft.
Oh, yeah, we can bring up the draft. Yeah. I mean, maybe I just want to finish up my point. Carmelo in the game. Carmelo impressed me.
Carmelo's strong.
Kobe continues to impress me. Chauncey Billups' composure, his leadership is unprecedented in the playoffs as far as on the point guard position. Nobody can bring what he brings to it. I can't even name up another. The experience of being there before. He's calm. Like the way, you know, like when they're not running back on defense, but he takes it to the hole and they're like, dang, man, y'all let Chauncey go to the cup, and they fouled him. Then he had to shoot two free throws.
Right.
Any point guard that's shooting double digit free throws is incredible. He knows when to shoot. And every time I watch Chauncey, I keep thinking like, there is no way Allen Iverson could have did half of what he does.
There's no way.
But they have the same skill set.
No.
That's all mentality.
No, they don't.
No, he could push the ball up the point. He just doesn't have the mentality of like, you know what? I don't need to shoot right now.
No, I disagree with you 100%. They're a totally different type of player.
They are different. I'm saying skill set. Like, they can dribble is good, shoot is good. He just chooses not to do how Chauncey's mentality and his maturity slows up. I'm just saying they got the same skill set. I mean, matter of fact, Iverson has a better skill set. He's probably, if Iverson ever had his mind right and he wanted to be, you know what, I want to pace the game, control the game at a pace.
Right.
He'll be one of the best ever, but I mean, too bad we'll never see that.
No, we won't see that. But the way I see Chauncey, man, is like I never thought he was that good in the beginning. When he first got drafted out of Colorado, I was just like,
oh yeah.
And remember, he like was cocky and everything back and early in his career.
Yeah, I always thought he was from California, but he happened to go to Colorado. He had me so confused.
But he's a big dude, though. Chauncey's strong, man. So the Denver Nuggets have the ability to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series if Carmelo continues to be on the boards the way he's on the boards. He is too much to handle for Ariza on the boards and Kobe.
Man.
He's too much, man. I mean, you see him grab, like him getting position. He's just got like, you know, he just got like old man strength.
Yeah.
Like he just go there and grab. That's what he looked like. You know what? How he played yesterday's game. He reminded me of when he was playing with Syracuse. Remember when he was playing that year and he was hitting 15 footers, but then he go down and grab some boards on him too, and that's what he was doing. He's just too strong,
and he has that sense of urgency in the second quarter. When I was watching the first quarter and he had 2 points, I'm like, oh, there he goes again. Can he get into it? He got checked. He checked himself into the game in the second quarter, and he took every shot. And the most remarkable thing about that was his teammates didn't even seem mad. They expected it. They, as a matter of fact, they followed his lead like, dang, he wants it. He wasn't giving up when they were down by 10.
Right.
He said, you know what? Y'all punks going to sit around? Watch this. I'm taking it to the hole. I'm getting fouled. Watch this. I'm taking it to the hole. I'm getting fouled. Watch this. My shot's on. He gives them confidence. And they don't reject his ball hogging in the second quarter.
No, they recognize him as being a superstar. They're waiting for him to take that lead. Most people, even just like in life, most people want to be led, bro. there's very few people out there who are leaders. Mm. Most people want to be led. And once that leader is established, people will follow them. Shaq will go anywhere, you know what? And there will be 90% of the people on that team that he goes to will follow him.
Except for Amari.
Except for Amari. But even he follows him a little bit. He ain't going to try to step, how much he ain't going to disrespect and step out of line. So Carmelo, those guys watch Carmelo. They watch the Olympic Games. They watch Carmelo playing on them teams. They know his talent better than anybody, really. So most people want to be led, like Snoop Dogg said. Taking the initiative.
In the second quarter.
The second quarter, yeah. Doing that. That's what a leader is supposed to do. That's what I expected from Carmelo Anthony.
And I'm glad you're proud of him.
Yeah, very much so. Like, he's my son.
It's like Chauncey and Carmelo, both of them together work so well together. When I knew they were getting serious is the brilliant play of Chauncey with 3 seconds left at the halftime, and he threw it off the back and he made the layup. The old play you see like in a playground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bah, 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 put it in. Boom. Halftime came. Kobe walked out. His wife didn't even say nothing. She ran up in his face, kissed him. She didn't say nothing. We saw that part, right?
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember, I think Kobe's listening to the show, or she listens to the show.
Right.
Because there was a different greeting at the halftime tunnel than it was before. Maybe it's because they felt the heat of...
What was the greeting like? Explain it to me.
Oh, she was waiting in the wings. She walked up. He looked at her, kissed her, and turned his head like he has nothing to say to her. And she kind of like, oh, and then walked away and talked to her girlfriend. Or maybe Trina punked her. I don't even know. You know her and Trina got beef, right? They've been saying words.
No.
Trina's Kenyon Martin's girl. Trina was the one. Remember they was having...
Trina? The Trina Trina?
Trina. The baddest chick, Trina.
Okay,
yeah.
So what happened?
Dude, you ain't reading your MediaTakeout.com.
Man, I'm sorry, brother. I'm not caught up on my black gossip.
Yeah, MediaTakeout.com. It was like the lead story. It said Trina and Vanessa, you know... Da, da, da. And then they said there was words being said that Vanessa was trying to talk trash in a friendly way, but Trina was like, girl, you better get out of my face. I don't play this. You know what I'm saying? Like, Vanessa was like, oh, hey, yeah, we gonna get you. Go Lakers, go Lakers. But then Trina turned around and checked her. And one of Trina's parents said, you better stop talking to her like that. And I got a quote mentioned Media Takeout because they almost punked me when I read this story. They said, if any other media sources uses this story, please credit us.
Okay. MediaTakeout.com.
Yeah. Trina was part of that whole...
The Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys, basically. Dallas, yeah, the Dallas Mavericks, Denver Nuggets, Mark Cuban drama. So.
Yes.
And then another interesting thing I saw on halftime, where there's so much part of the game that we're trying to bring you that a typical point of view. I don't know if you guys knew about the Trina and the Vanessa and the whole tunnel greeting, but also, did you catch when Kobe was doing his halftime shoot around and that guy walked up behind the announcers and looked at Kobe and he said, take their heart out. Take their heart out, Kobe. 45-year-old, he was on his fourth beer in halftime, and Kobe kind of like nodded to him like, yeah, but then he took it all serious. And the guy, just a random dude, just a fan with a Lakers jersey on, 45-year-old balding with a beer. Take their heart out, Kobe. Take it out. Put him in a body bag.
He did not say
it was that kind of mentality, though. Oh, that's the kind of words he was saying.
You had to spice it up.
No, I'm not spicing it
put
up.
Put him in a body bag.
I'm not spicing it up, but that was the kind of demeanor. That was the kind of attitude he had when he was yelling at the Kobe. Like, yeah, do it, Kobe.
And Kobe was taking it.
And you know Kobe's reaction was just like the person from Kobe from what's his name?
Cobra Kai.
Kobe Kai. The Karate Kid. He liked the Karate Kid.
Sweep the leg.
That's what Phil Jackson told him.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah.
You have a problem with that? No, sense. I'm sorry, Johnny. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, Kobe is... The thing about Kobe is he's almost half Danielson and the dude from
Two-Face.
Yeah, he's same old because, you know, he's the new kid on the block coming from the East Coast, moved to L.A. Hey, I'm Daniel's son. I'm playing on the beach.
I love the way your feet were kicking and like was you punking were 5 years old.
Oh, man, I'm so... We need to do an actor studio. I don't even know what we're going to do with
There's nothing we can do now.
Why?
How does this come naturally? We can't talk about it.
No, I'm just saying. I'm feeling it. Like, today, okay. I'm going to get it.
All right. All right. So, that we done talking about it. So, you said halftime. Then the second half, your analysis for the second half.
Don't tell me I'm done talking about it. Just go to the next topic, man. I don't want you. This is my birthday, dog. You going to tell me what I'm done talking about?
It's my anniversary, dog.
What came first?
Okay. Anniversary?
You crazy. Okay, yeah. I'm only 4 years old.
No,
get out of my face. No, I've been on this earth 36 years. I respect you and your marriage.
I thought you said what comes first, like it would be my day.
Oh, like chronologically, like in the year.
Just days-wise, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not really your birthday.
It is tomorrow.
Okay, but it's not today.
Dude, there's something telling me y'all got married at the Justice of Peace, and I really want to check your records, and I'm not
You better look at your Google Earth from 4 years ago and see me over there sweating like a slave Sedona.
It was not hot May 22nd on Sedona.
Man, you ain't never met no Dr. Martin Luther the King.
No, you might have been sweating, but it might not have been from the temperature.
Okay, Rayman, temperature.
I try to sound like, you know, that guy.
You trying to sound like House?
No, I try to sound like Robert Guillaume, the brother Benson, like trying to sound smarter than I am, but I'm really a butler.
Like Jeffrey Benson?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's stupid, dude. So, hey, so the Lakers, they're doing a thing. I can't wait till next week, because this weekend, make sure you guys email the show this weekend and give us your take about the Lakers. You're going to actually get two games. So it should be 2-2, or maybe 3-2, or the game 5 by the next time we get together, and you guys will be able to email the show and we'll read your emails about this weekend's games and all the other stuff going on in baseball this weekend. Since we're talking basketball, I want to go on this draft.
Talking
like when we first started the show, you were talking about Ricky Rubio. And then when we went, if you guys went on the website a couple of months ago when we had the All-Star Weekend, what happens was we made a lot of connections with people from different countries because, you know, when you have the All-Star game, people from all over the world come there because, you know, it's a global game. So we talked to this Spanish news anchor. And we were talking about, what do you think about Ricky Rubio? And his exact words were, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, definitely. But he's going to be out here, and he'll be a top pick, and he'll be a star, you know? And Keek's been on Ricky Rubio for, I say, at least a year and a half. I think he was 17. He was born in 1990. And
you up on him now, right now.
He was born on October 12th, 1990. You know,
this dude has no paper in front of him yelling these stats out about his age, height, birth, and what.
Well, in one thing they said it was 6'2 and a half. The other one said he was 6'4, but I really think he's more like 6'1, 6'2.
Yeah.
Because October 17th, 1990 is when he was born. So he'll be actually 19, going on 19 this fall. He's 18 right now. So the thing about it is, I look at the draft. Of course, Blake Griffin, the Clippers already said they're going to take Blake Griffin. Memphis. Can you imagine Ricky Rubio with Rudy Gay and OJ Mayo? I'm not mad at that, those guys. Right. So you got Mayo on the wing. Because Mayo, you know, Mayo was like, shot like 40-something from 3-point this year.
Mayo's going to
I'm telling you, they are going to run. And Ricky Rubio, they were saying, I heard this interview talking about his passing. Like, they said there's not many guys in the NBA who've seen passing. Like, he just sees the court and he can throw dimes. And I was watching some more YouTube videos of him. He's sick, dude. He's tight. In fact, who was saying that if they had the number one pick, they would have taken him over Blake Griffin?
Yeah. Clippers should?
I'm asking you
right now, though. Should the Clippers think about it?
No, because they can't. Nobody's going to take Baron Davis's contract.
Oh, yeah.
But they could have run Baron Davis at the two guard.
Yeah, he's big enough to guard some twos.
I would, you know what, if I was them, honestly, I would take a point guard. It seems like big men, you can get a big man. I know they're going to take Blake Griffin just because they lost Elton Brand, so there's a hole there, and I understand their need for it. But dang, dude, there's not very many point guards. This kid's been playing professionally since he's been 14. He knows the game, man. I mean, he's like a Steve Nash with real game. Like, not that Steve Nash doesn't have real game, but like Steve Nash with flair.
Why don't the Clippers trade the number one pick? So basically they trading Blake Griffin for, I don't know,
Number three pick and another pick?
Yeah. You don't have to go with the second. Well, no, you got to go two. They got to ensure that they get Rubio. So they got to trade it with Memphis.
Okay, so what's that going to help them?
Basically, they can get somebody from Memphis and Rubio.
Oh, okay, so get a player plus Memphis. Yeah, okay. But they're probably thinking, they already let the cat out of the bag and said they were taking Griffin, so they're like going to call their bluff. Like, man, you don't want no Ricky Rubio. Don't even try that.
And I'm glad you start talking about this this draft because I'm interested about we got some point guards like Rubio, and what about Brandon Jennings, who I mean, we follow him because he was a U of A student for 2 seconds. Is he going to get drafted in the top 10?
Yeah, they have him drafted in the top 10, and they have Jordan Hill, number 5.
Yeah, and James Harden, top 3 or 4.
Six.
No, I saw him up as 3 or 4. I mean, I've seen it, but you're saying 6 like the draft already happened.
So. No, that's what they were saying. I'm just talking the official one that I saw today.
Oh, the one you see is official.
Well, it's the most recent up-to-date.
Gotcha.
Youngin.
Yeah, I hear you, man. So, you know, over there talking about projections like they for real.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. I got to let the people out there know once I say something so they can hold it as a document.
Really? Okay, yeah. Portland Trail Blazers.
What?
Document that. Portland Trail Blazers are going to make it to the Western Conference Finals and beat LA. Document that, Rob.
You ain't got to bring up all the old stuff, man. Why you got to bring up
all
the stuff?
I'm just telling you, man. We all make mistakes. I don't want you sitting around here all pompous and unctuous, acting like everything you say is just correct. You see Detroit. The Detroit Tigers is in first place.
Did you pick them in first?
No, I think I got them second. But still, I mean, you know.
That's amazing.
I mean, they're a good team, though. They got talent, man. I mean, I don't know what happened to them last year, really. Dontrell
pitched a couple days
ago. Yeah, I have no idea.
It never happened. They erased it from the books.
It's like basketball is take, you know how it is. It's like basketball, like college basketball doesn't start until the Super Bowl's over. Like, that's when you really, really, really start looking at every game. Baseball, I won't look into every game until this NBA's playoff is over. And we'll still watch another 100 games.
I'll look at every game of baseball around August. July and August. But then, you know what? Interleague is starting this weekend, so I'll watch some of that, too. I like Interleague.
Yeah, Interleague does bring you some hype, man.
It does. I like seeing other teams. So Interleague is cool, too.
And whenever the Cubs lose 3 or 4 in a row, I kind of don't watch I don't watch baseball. All I see is Cubs lost. You don't even look at. I'm so afraid to look at the standings.
No, I'm scared to look at standings for my Mariners.
That's what it is. When your team's not balling in baseball, you just halfway look at it.
If you see them going 3 in a row, you'd be like, "Dang, dude, I'm not gonna watch them for a little."
You don't
bit.
Even look at the standings.
No,
man.
I don't want to look at. But I know Seattle. They won yesterday, 1-0. So no, a couple days ago, 1-0. I don't know what they did last night. You know, I can't know everything, bro. I can't know everything.
No, heck no, man. Especially with baseball, man. It's too much, man. It's too much.
So what are we going to talk about coming back from the break? You know, I know we're going to take a little break right here.
It's my birthday. We can talk about whatever I want to talk. Oh, I'm sorry. It's your anniversary.
It is my anniversary.
Talk about whatever. Let's talk about your love affair with Lenny and Stevie B.
And King Griffey Jr.?
Yeah.
I don't care. I can revisit that again.
It's so funny how when it's my birthday show, you're... anniversary show just happened to precede it, and we once again talking about Rob.
Okay,
it's incredible.
You know what? When we get back from the break, we're gonna talk a little bit more about Rob, and then we're gonna mix in a little bit about Keith's birthday celebration. Right?
That no one's going to because it's celebrating in Wickenburg.
Atypical Sports Show.
We out.
Dude, that one goes out to my boy LB, dude, and a Jerry Curl.
You just gave that song a shout out to a dude with a Jerry Curl called Spring Love.
No, because the reason why I give a shout out Spring Love is because LB back in the day in 1985 had a red truck. And LB used to run around town in his red truck bumping Stevie B. And LB's light skin with a Jerry Curl. So we would all be like, there's Stevie B. Spring Love talks about it because he looks like Stevie B.
Robin King will be right back with more of the Atypical Sports Show.
A car that fly, maybe a house in the sky. I know you wanna beat it up right quick. And I was the first bitch Kobe cheated on his wife with. Oh. Tight diamond princess. Don't be the first name on my hit list. Trust me, that's not a good look. I'm a rook.
Is your organization doing fundraisers that are more work than the money you bring in? Chances are, your fundraiser does not make a difference in people's lives. As you know, high school funding will continue to be cut as youth sports organizations struggle to keep running. Be the one to make a difference for your organization. Contact oneforall@gmail.com to schedule an appointment and put your organization's budget on cruise control. That's oneforall@gmail.com.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show, brought to you especially by Vima, the world's most powerful liquid antioxidant. Check it out, www.vimaathletes.com. That's www.vimaathletes.com. and check out the Atypical Sports Show with my boy Rob over there chilling.
Gonna
bring us back into segment number 2. Gonna bring us back into his anniversary show and gonna neglect Kimani and his birthday all in one little paragraph.
Keek's gonna be 36.
That's it. That's all you need to know.
You're gonna be 36, man.
Roast me.
Keek, you're so old. You're 1 year younger than me.
Man, you don't have fun roasting like I was having fun roasting you?
No, because you really wasn't roasting me.
In my mind, I was, though.
I know you was, but in my mind, I can't gear up and lie to myself like that, like you did.
Maybe you need to sit up, man. Your energy is real.
No, people out there, please email the show if you don't like my energy. Right now, I'm
saying right now.
Oh, right now? I'm flying right now. I'm fly.
Yeah, you. Your energy is so fly, I'm relying on you right now.
Okay, so
talk about your anniversary.
I don't have anything to say about my anniversary. You said you had some things you want to talk about, so get ready and shoot them at me.
I was just going to sit here and listen to you.
No, that's all right.
What's okay?
I don't want to talk. I'm waiting for you to bring it up. You got some stuff to talk about, man. You just got it going on the preparation scene right now.
Oh, I just want to talk about my birthday, but you know,
talk about your birthday. Let's talk about.
I don't even want to talk about my birthday. Let's talk about all the birthdays that come into. No, I don't specifically want to talk about me and my birthday.
Okay.
You know, I do want to talk about the remarkable Geminis as far as our culture, as far as our establishments, as far as our ability to flow on this microphone. Can you tell me, please, just out the top of your head, name me your top 5 rappers? Please, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. So I got, Rakim.
Okay, good. Good choice. Good choice. Great choice.
KRS-One.
Wow.
If you really have a problem with your burger, you need to go see the franchise owner. We need to go to the top or to the bottom.
That was another good choice.
Jay-Z.
Whoa, good choice. So that's 3.
Tupac.
Okay. That's 4.
And Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey can rap his...
Don't say it. 5 top rappers. Right now, go.
Me, Biggie, Andre 3000, Jay-Z, Tupac, and I like Jadakiss.
You know what? Andre 3000 is my 5th one. I replace him with Ken Griffey Jr.
2 out of your 5 are Geminis. 3 out of my...
I bet you 4 out of 5 are Year of the Ox.
No, actually, I don't know about that. But 2 out of those 5 are Geminis. Here go the list of Gemini rappers. This was incredible to me. First of all, we starting off with B.I.G., born May 21st. Then we got a twin billing, Jadakiss and Andre 3000, born on the same day, same year, May 27th. That's Jadakiss and Andre 3000. Lauryn Hill, gotta give her props, May 25th, even though she's not the best rapper now.
I miss her.
Miss her real bad. Big L, I miss him too. Rest his soul. He was one of the most prominent. For you young cats, check out Big L. He was a Harlem. He introduced the Harlem scene back in the mid-90s. Passed away prematurely due to some violence. Check him out. And then obviously we got Tupac, who's a incredible rapper, incredible story, incredible militant, incredible force in hip hop. June 16th. He's a Gemini. Andre 3000, as I said before, Ice Cube and Kanye West.
Ice Cube's a Gemini?
Yeah.
Kanye West is a Gemini?
Yeah.
So you had to be a Gemini to be able to flow.
And this is some things I think about, man. People always just say, I think, hey, you Pisces?
Aries Pisces.
Aries Pisces, cusp. You're on the cusp, whatever, March 22nd.
Don't be whatever in my sign.
No, because you, no, I'm not saying whatever, because you're 1 year it is on, 1 year it's off, it's the equinox. Yeah.
That's me.
But when people say you have similar traits as other people who are your same zodiac sign, and the reason I think it is because when I was born in May, and let's say another person was born in May, when you have enough kids to answer this question off the top of your head, when do kids start learning how to talk
and communicate? Around a year.
So if you can communicate at a year old, Don't you think you'll share the same traits as someone else who can communicate at a year old if you're going through summer for the first time and your thoughts are being processed? Like, oh, you can go outside. It's summertime. Look at the heat. Go into the pool. Don't you think you'll have certain type of characteristics or traits that'll be similar? Or let's say you're a person that was born in December and Christmas was the first thing that you remember as far as being able to talk and walk. And Christmas was your first type of event that you were actually a part of. And your parents treated you in a way like, don't go outside because it's cold, but look at these lights inside. Do you think that would influence your personality? If you went through similar traits, the same developmental stages at similar times of the year because of outside circumstances, the climate, certain type of holidays, certain type of events that happen in life?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes, I agree with you. I believe that contributes to people being very similar in their birth dates and things about their experiences about that time. I think so, very much so.
And also not to mention the orbit of the sun, yeah, the kind of gravitational pulls. I don't know anything about that. I'm not going to pretend. I'm sure it has something to do with it.
Oh, yeah. I believe in that totally. I think that spiritually that everybody's connected. So, like, there are certain experiences that you have at that same time that people just know. I think everybody shares the same experience. It's just some people just connect it to each other. Some people are just more aware of it.
They are more aware.
They're more aware of their similarities. So, it's just a matter of awareness. Whatever information that you are willing to learn at this time is the information you'll know. It's all out there. It's just your level of awareness. It's different. So, yeah, that's a good point, though.
And you know
that's
what? Really I wasn't good point, Key. And I wasn't aware about your court date. Was there anything else that I need to be aware of that you might have did yesterday that, you know, might have been in a cop chase or did you go to court?
I'm your father. Yeah, because, you know, I'm really good at court. You know, most of the time I tell the truth. Yeah. Wait, what did I say that
you funny? said most time I show up to court.
Yeah, like you look at my track record.
Yeah, you used to look at my track record. 17 times I've been to court. I've been there 17 times. This is the first 17 this is you told
the first
her.
Time the first time I missed it. So no nothing else I need to tell you about, except maybe I do need to tell you about something else, man. I cry every time I see the J-Mac story.
They showed it again?
Man, did you see the one with the other kids who had autism and he affected their lives too?
No, I haven't.
And they played basketball. They were managers for their basketball team. And they came into the game and were hitting three-pointers too. You never saw that one?
Never. So there's the more this story than happened. One. No, there's this story more than one.
Let me explain to you.
Autistic kid that's.
Let me explain to you. You don't have to ask a question. I'll explain it all to you. J Mac's story happened like maybe 2 years ago, or man, long time ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So since then, there's been some kids who are younger who were not in high school yet, but saw that story and said that they wanted to play basketball. So they became managers of their different high school in Upper State New York, and one of the last,
so it was like a J Mac program kind of in a way.
Or no, it's just regular high school. With
but he influenced them.
Yes.
Okay. So it's not official. It's
dude,
just that.
Dude, just listen and you'll understand.
Okay. No, I really want to know if it's official or not.
No, I'm going to tell you if it's official. You just listen to the whole thing. Okay. You won't be confused. You saw Star Trek. It was more difficult. These guys watched J-Mac and his story several years ago, but they were in middle school. They got to high school and they were like, you know what? I want to be the manager of my school basketball team. And so they were managers of the school basketball team. So ESPN did this story about how like they were about to be seniors and one had worst case autism. The other one was not as bad, but they got in the game and both of them were hitting shots, dude. Both of them, it was hype. And so then they had a little a ceremony at the end of the year and J-Mac came to the ceremony and spoke. And man, those guys were so hyped, dude. It was the best story. So, I mean, dude, that story to me, dude, every time I see J-Mac and them show that story, him airballing the first shot. And I got to explain. If you guys don't know, J-Mac is this kid who is an autistic kid. He was a manager of his basketball team and he loved basketball very much. In the last game of the year, they were up by a lot. And so everybody, the crowd started cheering, J-Mac. So he goes in the game and this guy is autistic and he misses his first three-point shot, airballs it, and then proceeds the next 6 out of 7 shots, hits these three-pointers, like with guys in his face. And the last one was like 4 seconds left, hits the three-pointer, and the crowd just rushes the court, and they pick him up and carry him, you know, and it was just such an inspirational story. So this guy influenced other people. So that, I mean, I that's what I just realized, man.
Do me a favor, Rob. Put that on our front page YouTube.
Oh, man, I am going to, man. Seriously, that story, I would love to keep that on there forever. That story was great.
How would you feel, and you feel, you've you very touched about this. How would you feel if somehow this was all staged and those kids, they just put other kids in there and ESPN just made a fake story? I know they did it. I'm just saying, how would you feel if that happened? Kind of like NASA staging, putting men on the moon?
You know what? It would irritate me, but then you know what? It would irritate me more from the aspect is that maybe kids wouldn't be inspired to do something. Just
so you wouldn't be mad if they did that. Like I would be mad. You'd understand the basis behind it.
No, I would be mad to a point. It's just that I wouldn't be I would be mad for a different reason, just because there's kids who would believe that and be inspired by it, and then think it all's fake and they wouldn't be inspired.
You know what I'm inspired about?
What?
I want to get a t-shirt the same color as my skin, like you're wearing. So when it like short and it goes up right there, you don't know that your gut's hanging out like that.
Well, obviously, you do know.
Oh, but it's like when I'm looking at you, it's like, wow, that's the same color as your skin. It's but nice the shirt,
you know, it's nice enough. My partner is looking at my body.
He's just staring at my belly. If any man walks in and his shirt is halfway up his gut, like he got on a half shirt, like the cornerbacks used to wear back in the 80s, you know what I'm saying?
Cornerbacks.
The cornerbacks, they always had those Daryl
Green
shirts.
Daryl Green reminded me, dude. That's a Daryl Green in one of them shirts. They thought they were so hard when they
like, all had a jerry curl.
They all had a jerry curl. Lester Hayes had a half shirt. And so yeah, man, so the hoop stories, man, any stories where people are just inspired and they're like against the odds for some reason, I think it's sports stories always make me feel that way, just because it's the connection I have with my son in sports, you know, both of my kids, my older sons, you know, just with sports, it's an avenue, just brings you together, man. It's like, you'll get it when you have a kid, man. It's like, even if they don't do great, but they just do something that they didn't do before, it's like, man, you see their mind work. It's inspirational, man. So, I mean, I love it. So that's
I got to check that story out.
Oh, man,
no,
you got to check it out, man. So that's the other thing.
Was it just on like E60 or
yeah,
what?
It was on E60.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. It was on
ESPN though, right?
It was on ESPN, some okay. ESPN shows.
I'll find it somehow.
Okay, so that was the only other thing that I can remember right now that you didn't know about me, man. Your original question for me to get to that was like, what else you ain't telling me?
Only thing that I'm most worried about is, where's Mike?
Mike had to run some errands.
Oh, he left?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I had no idea. Okay. Yeah, Mike. I didn't. He just, you know, I don't want him running around the Great Thorn Studios, you know, unattended.
without them little leashes on him that you wear for little kids.
Yeah, he was just gone way too long.
Why do people, you know what? Is that the most, is that me who, Keith, you don't have a kid yet, right?
Oh, but I have eyeballs and I see
But
that.
If you had a 2-year-old kid, would you have a leash, your kid with a vest and a leash on there?
No, that spells problems.
You know why that spells problems to me? You know what that says to me? What does that say to you? See, that says to me that I'm
that
lazy.
Me, what that says to me, oh, were you asking me?
No, go ahead.
What that says to me is I'm afraid of that little kid if I saw that people, me just being, I'd be like, that little kid's bad. And then I look at the parents like, man, what are you doing? That's not helping it.
No, yeah. Like, that to me, that's just a lazy parent, dude. Like, I don't feel like dealing with it. I'm just going to put my kid on. You got your kid on a leash?
Man.
What song was
Freak Corn, on? Freak on a Leash.
Man, how'd you know I was going to say that? That's crazy. All right, go ahead. Yeah, you got your Ten Commandments tablet open, your little notebook where you be flipping pages. I'm scared. What you got?
What you doing? I don't like you sweating me what I got. It's just like,
just because I asked you, you don't want to tell me now.
No, I really don't. You know what? I got stuff written back from back in the day. Let me see what I got.
And I was young and I don't care anymore.
Let me see what we got.
Man, I thought we was going to do a word of the day today.
No, we did it yesterday.
Okay, my bad.
We did it yesterday. What would you think about, well, obviously, you know what I got, man. I put up the new atypical stat. You seen how can LeBron James have 1.3 fouls through the whole playoffs? He's committed 11 fouls in 9 games.
That's LeBron James.
And he's been to the line 12.4 times.
LeBron James.
Everyone else is like, yeah, I fouled.
Bobby Creek.
Bobby Creek. Bobby Creek. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
LeBron James.
Bobby Creek. Man.
LeBron James.
Does anybody else know who Bobby Creek is?
No.
Yeah, only me and you.
I don't even.
Oh, I know what had me motivated this week. Dude, do you know who's going to be in Hard Knocks? The HBO show?
No, who is it?
Guess. Okay, before you even say
Giants.
That, who do you want it to be?
Oh, Eagles.
Is that who you want it to be?
Yeah.
Who is going to be, I'm not hyped, it's almost a year too late. Actually, I'm real confused. They just had him. It's the Chiefs again, but without Herm Edwards.
It's probably the new regime. They want to see the new regime over there. Pioli's over there, isn't he?
I don't want to see that.
Todd Haley, Pioli, Larry Johnson, Matt Castle. Yeah, man, they're interesting. They're gonna be. Yeah. They're gonna be. The whole thing.
If I would have told you list 10, they wouldn't have been in your top 10.
Maybe not, but they wouldn't have been in my bottom 10 either. So it's like they're interesting. They got Larry Johnson. They got an interesting team coming back. Man.
Cardinals would have been like maybe. Obviously,
I know the Cardinals don't need that kind of distraction. They just
I'm glad they aren't. But I think from an interesting point of view with the whole Bolden situation, just losing the Super Bowl, I want to check out Kurt Warner, the real Kurt Warner. But obviously, I mean,
go to church.
Who do you think I'll say second? The Bears. I mean, I'm always a homer. I always want to see my teams. You know, yeah. Would you want to see Seattle?
Heck yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Seattle might get Vic.
Oh, because of
yes,
yeah, because of what's the coach?
Man, wouldn't you love? I'd love to have him in a West Coast offense, be a receiver, take a bubble screen. Come on now, Mike, take that bubble screen.
I can't.
Would you want Mike Vick with the Bears? Would you want that pimp?
Not now.
Want him.
No, I think that would mess Cutler's mind up.
No, not as a quarterback.
Oh,
slash.
No,
kickoff return.
No, we got Hester. I mean, no, I think that would be greedy for us to just waste half of Vic's talent. That's not realistic.
I would love Vic to be the other receiver on opposite side of TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Well, the reason why you can say that is because Seneca Wallace did play like 7 games last year, so it's a possibility whoever the backup is going to play 7-8 games.
Oh, I love to see Vic in a Seattle uniform, man.
Yeah.
But you know what the
thing is? Hasselbeck's not playing the full season.
Let me tell you why he's not going to be in a Seattle uniform.
He can't survive in Seattle. I can't even picture him driving down the streets of Seattle.
He will love Seattle, but you know what? Them people up there in Seattle won't love him. That's one place you want to go if you're messing with dogs. Them people up there will up go crazy.
Yeah.
They don't like that stuff up there. You messing with dogs. So I don't see how the backlash of them signing him will be worse in Seattle than most places, man. Up there, they're real liberal. So they don't want you messing with no dogs. That's crazy. They'd rather you just start beating up kids in the street than mess with dog fighting.
Wow.
So I would love to see Vic up there, though. But I don't think it's going to happen, though. But I would definitely love to see him there.
I think I'd rather see...
Where would you want to see Vic?
I already told you. Here, Cardinals.
That's where you think it'd be most exciting to
see? For me, yeah. Because you think about those older quarterbacks. Kurt Warner doesn't need to play every down. He ain't going to play every down.
Would you have him in a running wildcat or just running a different set?
Oh, yeah, I'd have him throwing a wildcat or different sets. Or basically, I have him throwing the goal line package. Or maybe throw him where, like, I'll have Kurt Warner play in between the 20s. And I'll play Vic. Goal line package are when we got the 80 yards.
That's tough though. I mean, because Vic can't throw, and if you got him in the 20s, in between the 20s,
Vic can't throw.
No, he's not a good passer.
He can't throw.
He's not an effective passer.
That's not what he's known for, but he can make passes.
All right. Okay. So I mean, I feel you, but you don't want him to do that for Cutler. Because it'll mess Cutler's head up, you said?
It'll mess Cutler's head. Cutler needs to be like, I am the man of this whole organization.
Obviously,
I don't need anybody.
Obviously.
Yeah, I don't need anybody breathing down my neck.
Obviously, you already know that's how you got him. So you can't. Do you feel any better about Cutler right now than you did a couple months ago?
Of course I do, because I'm a natural optimist.
Okay. What?
No, I really am as far as when it comes to my teams. I'm always going to think the best for them. I'm going to find excuse or reasons why I think they're going to be better than most people think they are. And I'm not going to sit here and pinpoint them like you do with our Arizona Wildcats.
What do you mean?
You know, we had that conversation off air about our football team. But I don't need to get in there. I'm just giving you an example of how I'm always the one before the season that's hyping you up why we got a chance. And then by the time the season starts, yeah, you're right. You're right, dog.
You're right. I forgot about that, dog.
I'm the natural, like, dude, we got a shot. And you always want to break our teams down.
No, I don't. You know what?
Don't
I just come with the reality, dude.
I know,
come with straight
and
numbers.
I don't. I'm telling you.
I'm
that's what I'm trying
dude.
To tell you.
Numbers.
I'm the optimist when it comes to my teams. So, obviously, answer your question about Cutler. Yes, I think he's the answer right now. That's the answer to me, is Cutler is going to be the savior. You know, I think situations happen for reasons. Kind of like I've been tripping about about how the world would be different if this trade happened or this trade didn't happen. But what really been bugging me out lately is, how do you think the world would be if Tupac was still alive? I think the world would be upside down as far as personalities. Kanye wouldn't be Kanye because Tupac would have punked anybody. He wouldn't allow half this stuff to happen. Eminem would have got punked. He would have just went after people. He would have just attacked people and just ran up in their face. It wouldn't have let half of this stuff that's been happening in the last 10 years in the world of hip hop, which carried over. I don't even know if Barack would be the president if Tupac was still alive.
Man, I don't think he had that much power.
I'm just saying, little things happen.
No, but
that builds up.
See, here's the whole deal. I don't think Tupac would have been the same Tupac. So I think Tupac, towards the end of before he died, was on the path to actually becoming a leader.
A leader when he ran up to those dudes and started kicking them in the club. That was his path.
He had bad instances, but to me, he was a tormented brother. If you listen to what he's talking about, like he was like. You know, all about, you know, like the community. But the next song, you talk about some crazy stuff. Because I just think he was a tormented brother. But I think he was on the path. Do you read the Tupac story, man? That, you know, they were saying, you know, he was on the path. The government was a little nervous about him because of his ability to motivate youth to do things. So I think he was actually, I don't think Tupac would have been the same dude. I think in a couple of years after that, Tupac would have been somebody who would have been an activist.
Do you think Hollywood would have captured him as far as he would have been an actor still?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think
he
would have been an actor.
Do you think he still would have been making music today?
Yeah, but not the same kind of music.
Do you think it'd still be relevant?
Yes.
We would still be waiting for Tupac's album.
Not necessarily waiting, but I think it would be kind of like on a Will Smith tip. Like, you ain't waiting for his album, but like, oh, he came out with another album, but you ain't disrespecting
him. I've never waited for Will Smith's album, so I can't relate to that.
You didn't wait for Easy DJ and the Rapper?
That was the first Prince album.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Okay, but that's what what I'm saying is that
he would
still sell records, and he'd get respect as an actor more than he'd get as a rapper.
I think he would have just
definitely. He would have been his acting skills already were good. He would have been respected as an actor more than a rapper right now. Like, kids would know him as more of an actor than a rapper.
Actually, you think of Tupac, it's almost his fate was almost inevitable. I can't see him even going beyond what happened, because the way he was living, his passion, he was about it. He's one of those characters that had so much character, charisma, that he was going to die early. You know, similar to like Kennedy and Malcolm X. Like, he was so powerful in the level. Like, I can't imagine him living now. Just like I can't imagine all these people that I'm talking about that's been assassinated or killed. I'm not putting them on that level, but I'm saying when you live that hard so fast and you have that much passion, I can't even imagine how he would sit still today.
I didn't,
because his light wouldn't be as shiny. You think Tupac would just be like a kind of a half has been rapper?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess you're asking me to speculate, and I would just say that I couldn't tell you, dude. I just look at it this way. Everybody evolves. You can't stay the same way without me. So the reason why I died, maybe because he wasn't ready to evolve. But everybody's going to evolve. So if he would be alive today, I would count that he probably evolved. Because the reason why he died, because he didn't evolve quick enough. Mm-hmm. He was still doing the same stuff and still getting results. And he probably had desires to do something different. Mm-hmm. Desires to be more, but those were being overridden by other desires. So that's why he just didn't evolve. He didn't get with the time. Because if he did evolve, he would maybe make different choices. He wouldn't have said the things he said. He would have went a different route. And he would have been alive. So,
and sometimes it's just the luck, like the luck of the bullet, or just like evolving. No,
it ain't luck.
No. Like the evolution of like a Kobe Bryant, the incident he had in Colorado, he was that close of having it over. He has an opportunity to redeem himself and change some of the things he had, mm-hmm. and change himself as a player as far as being more of a team player. So I can see where you're talking about, where he has been evolving, but the exclamation point of Kobe's career is he has to win that non-Shaq championship. We all know that. And that is the reason why I have so much desire for him not to see that, for a weird reason. That's just me being a human being, and I'm competing against him because I'm picking a side over another, and the side I'm picking is Shaq's side, and I don't want Kobe to win.
It's amazing that no matter what we talk about, it can go back to Kobe at any time.
All roads lead
back to Kobe.
At any time of the year. It can be football season. They can have T.O. could do push-ups in the snow in Buffalo, pulling a tractor, calling Jeff Garcia somebody who lives some different kind of lifestyle. And I'll say, you know, that's Kobe-ish.
Yeah, exactly. You'll find a way to bring it back to Kobe. Like, he's just the worst dude ever. So that's how you do it with Kobe. So that's your dude. I can't.
On that, man, I'm just going to end with that. That's the last thing I want people to hear from me before my birthday is I hate Kobe. I'm out.
Happy birthday, Key. Atypical Sports Show. Much love to my people out there, our gente. Continue to email the show. We love your email. We always will thank you every week for the constant emails we get. Next Wednesday, we'll do our interaction show. On Wednesday, we will be emailing Atypical Sports Show, brought to you by Vima, VimaAthletes.com. We out.
Suffering.